Hello there and welcome to episode 67 of the Hawthorns Debate Club. My name is Jeremy Clay and I am joined this week by a couple of gentlemen to have a few conversations and discussions about West Bromwich Albion Football Club. Let me start by saying a warm hello to my good friend Alex Collins.
Hello.
And hello to my little brother Joe Clay.
Hello.
So I think it's fair to say that the romance has faded somewhat, that the honeymoon period is over. Not to say that we're suddenly in panic mode. There's no meltdown going to take place in the Hawthorns Debate Club, but it certainly seems as though that wonderful run of form that started early on in the King Corbyn regime has hit something of a blip. It's now 1-5 and some pretty uninspiring performances thrown in to a little bit of a poor run of form. Even though we are delighted still, and I definitely want to nail my colours to the mast early on, I'm still very much in the King Corbyn. I'm so delighted that we've got him, and I'm happy to have him at the helm to employ his long-term vision. But it's certainly fair to say that there is a bit of criticism floating around at the moment, and it's seen Albion drop down the table a little bit. But we're going to get into all of that and more on today's episode of the Hawthorns Debate Club. But first, it's been a while again, but let me say thank you for downloading and listening to podcasts this week. We do treasure you, and we're very thankful that you stay with us even when we are absent. As I said on Instagram today, we hope that absence does make the heart grow fonder, and we are striving our very, very best to be as regular as possible. But all I can say is, if you want to support the podcast further than just listening to it, you can always tell your friends and family about the podcast. You can share it on your social media. You can leave little reviews or little ratings on whatever podcast app you're listening to this presently, and that boosts us up. So whenever people look for Albion Podcast, we do pop up on that little feed there as well. So if you can do any of those things, we really, really do appreciate it. So on tonight's podcast, we're going to be kind of traveling back in time again, as we all want to do in a former kind of experience of this podcast. We break out the time machine. Maybe that will happen tonight, maybe not, I don't know. But we'll be traveling a little bit back in time. We'll be talking about all of the last three games, three kind of tough games on paper, a derby, a game against a promotion rival, and a game against an old heartthrob of the Albion, Birmingham Blackburn and Watford. From those games, we've taken 1 point in what's looking like the brutal February that a lot of us predicted is unfolding the way most of us anticipated. And we're now 10th in the table. We're 5 points off the playoffs, 16 points off automatics. And not to be too negative and pessimistic, because I think we've done decent bits and pieces to get as far away from this as possible. We're 14 points off the relegation zone. But the record's still good. 10 wins out of 16, and our home form is still that we're unbeaten in the last eight, and we conceded our first goal against Blackburn. I think, boys, we're going to have to kind of use a bit of a thick paintbrush to gloss over some of these games tonight. We'll start with the Watford game, because that's the most recent in memory. 3-2 defeat at Vicarage Road. We jumped back into the game after going behind twice before Watford finished up the game with a third goal. Really bitterly disappointing way to lose, especially off the back of the couple of results we'd had before that. Where are you boys at now? As I said at the start, the honeymoon period does seem to be over, and there's a little bit of the rose-tinted glasses have been shattered for most people about Corbyn. Not to say that people are panicking, but where do you guys, where are you at with all of this?
Well, I think he made his first major mistake against Watford with his lineup. The lineup looked lovely, and I was excited when we started, but you could see Jed Wallace in that floating, changing roles with right and left wing and being in the middle. It doesn't work. He's a winger. He's an old-fashioned winger. He gets down to the byline and crosses it in, and that's why we all love him. That's what he is. He wears his heart on his sleeve, and he puts himself into challenges, and you saw it. He was overrunning the ball in the first half, in the middle of the park, because it's not where he should be. He should be and the wing. For me, Corbran is playing the new signings, Albrighton and Chalobah, and really, I don't think they've earned their place to start in the squad at the moment. I think Albrighton's probably had a good 60 minutes against Coventry, but really hasn't shown anything else since then. Chalobah, I am not won over. There's been debates that he can't be playing with OK Kukuchelu because he's very similar, but I just don't see what, obviously, Corbran's seen in him, to be honest. I just think, yeah, he's great to have off the bench, but I can't see him starting. Again, he hasn't earned his place. So that's all I'll say about Corbran. I'm still happy with him, very happy with him. I think it's the only mistake he's made. But yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I'm not panicking at all. I mean, you look at what Corbran has done to the team, like what he started with. I genuinely thought it'd be a miracle worker who could even get a win out of the Albion, and like, from what it was under Bruce. I question whether we've just been through a bit of a honeymoon period, but I've got a lot of faith in Corbran, and I think that he's getting to a point where the players, they look a bit tired. They look a bit like perhaps the effects of going so many games unbeaten and climbing up the table like they have has maybe impacted them a bit. But I reckon after the Middlesbrough game on Saturday, I think we'll see a refreshed Albion. And then I think we'll come good towards the end of the season, which is the best time to come good. And I think we'll start climbing the table again, you know, after next week. I think he's going through a bit of a transition period since the transfer window.
Yeah, I think for me, it's the startling difference between our away and home form. I think if you were to just take the home games, none of us would have this kind of trepidation about any of it, really. I think the Coventry game and the Blackburn game, I think 99 times out of 100, we see out the win against Blackburn. I think we were really casual in possession. We were really confident and we were playing the ball around. John Swift looked elegant. Dean Garner was playing well. We looked like a really good team. Jason Lumby come on and made a huge difference against Blackburn. And we just looked like, we looked like a promotion favourite playing against the middle table side. And that Ben Brereton-Diaz free kick, I think Josh Griffiths would be very disappointed with his kind of attempt at a save at that. And I know it's been said before, but I think if it's David Button, he's been slaughtered for that attempt at a save. But then when you watch the away performances, like you said, against Watford and Blues, we seem to be a different team. We seem to shrink back. We don't look like a team full of confidence with quality players in like key positions. And I think that's where it almost seems to have like crept into a mentality issue now. I feel like at home, we've got really no problems. I even think against Middlesbrough, I think Middlesbrough will consider it a good point if they come and take a point from us. The thing that I think is obviously a big area is the goalkeeper situation. I knew when Alex Palmer went out that we were going to struggle. Obviously, David Button was dropped after the Birmingham game. We had a couple of howler decisions there. We don't need to talk about it in much detail, but obviously Medri pops a free kick in because his position is poor, and then he comes for a corner and flaps at it. And so he's rightfully dropped. And Josh Griffiths comes in, and I guess against Blackburn, he was, I don't know what the right phrase is, he looked competent, I guess. He didn't fill you with much excitement, but he's certainly big enough and looks like a goalkeeper at least. And I think the thing about Palmer that I knew we'd struggle without him, but I didn't expect him to be kind of like a Jenga piece for us. I didn't expect that as soon as you take Palmer out, we kind of look like we fall to pieces. But I do think, you know, it's in more defensive issues, more sloppiness at the back, more mistakes in defence. I think both fullbacks look a little bit shaky all of a sudden. I think some of the strange decisions by Dara O'Shea, Eric Peters is obviously a bit wrong-footed for an own goal. I think everything suddenly looks like that solidity has gone. And one of the things me and Alex have commented on a lot of the times at the game is you can hear Alex Palmer all around the ground. The guy has got a set of lungs on him and he is screaming and shouting and organising that defence, letting them know exactly where he is. And I think you've taken that out of the team. You've really seen the confidence drain out of the defence. And I think it's all of that is contributing now to at least all of a sudden you're seeing goals being conceded, particularly away from home and the crowds against you and whatnot, that we weren't conceding 5-6 weeks ago when Alex Palmer was there. So I'm shocked, to be honest, to how significant a part of Palmer. And I do wonder if Steve Bruce had dropped Button earlier and we bought Palmer in and the run of results under Bruce hadn't happened the way it had, would Steve Bruce still be our manager? That's how dramatic the difference Palmer's made, in my opinion, at least.
I think it's quite interesting you're saying when Josh Griffiths should have saved the free kick, and you said if that was Button, he would have been hammered for it. But the thing you've got to remember, Button has made hundreds of mistakes now, and he wasn't saving
True.
very many. And I think Josh Griffiths is his first, like, not professional, but first game for his parent club, and he's been chucked in at the deep end, really, hasn't he? It's not like we're trying to get into the playoffs. It's not like we're, middle table, and we can ferry him in and just see how good he is. But I think you are right. There's lack of confidence in the defence because I can see Josh Griffiths. He doesn't go out and catch the ball. He's not demanding of his area. Maybe that will come with time. Maybe he's nervous as well because he's quite young. But yeah, you can totally tell the difference between having a goalkeeper who shouts and tells people what to do from the back line because he can see the whole pitch than someone like Button or Griffiths. It's alarming. It's like, I don't, you just can't explain how the difference. And people have gone back to the Matty Phillips thing, and I think Matty Phillips would have helped in these things because I think he's a better defender as a winger. But yeah, the catalyst for our downfall, I do believe, is Alex Palmer getting injured. It's a shame, to be honest, because I think if he doesn't get injured and carries on with form and we get into the playoffs or even get promoted through the playoffs, people are interested in him. Other teams are interested in him to buy him because he's still young and he's shown what he can do. Some of his saves, what he's pulled off, that one against Sunderland comes to mind. It's just incredible. I think Josh Griffiths will come. I don't think he'll become good this time because I think he's too young. And I don't think once Alex Palmer's back, I think he'll go straight back in. So he won't develop enough. But I think this will do good for Josh Griffiths. And he will become a good goalkeeper because I think he's got it. You can see there's the quality there. I think he was unlucky against, he was very unlucky to concede three goals against Watford. They were so lucky. So lucky. It's one of those, that Semmer with Peters, as you mentioned, Jeremy, it's just so unlucky.
I genuinely, I do think there's something worth saying there. I do think against Watford and Blues, both the away games, we played some good stuff. I know we're disappointed and they're hard defeats to take, especially against Blues. But apart from those two freaky goals, which, like you say, Button is almost solely responsible for, and then at Watford, there's just a couple of like just uncharacteristic mistakes that creep in, and all of a sudden we're punished so brutally. And I think, like you say, it's just those margins. Nobody's coming and absolutely battering us. Nobody's absolutely kind of undone us and played us off the park. I think you could argue quite comfortably that we were worth a draw across all three games. Sorry, with Blackburn being a win. So, well, where we've taken 1 point from a possible nine, I think it would have been very, very fair if we'd got 5 points realistic, but I guess that's the fine margins in football.
Yeah, I think Sir Alex Ferguson famously said that a good goalkeeper's worth 15 points. And I think that's, it's so true. Just to echo what you've said, Joe, I think if had Palmer been playing earlier in the season, I think we'd be, a lot higher up in the table. And it's interesting that in some sports, like ice hockey, the goalkeeper's revered. They're the first people that the team go to celebrate with, and they're seen as such an integral part of a good ice hockey team. And I think goalkeepers are hugely undervalued. They're so important, and it'd be quite interesting to hear Ben Foster's opinion on this. But I think it's we've missed a trick there, really.
I think it's interesting you say that though about goalkeepers because they train separately and everything, don't they? It's in
They're
football, it seems to
different.
be a different. Yeah, it seems to be they're different, and they even say, I've listened to some of Ben Foster's podcast, and he says that they do things different, like it's a different culture, different, like because you're with the coaches one on one when the other team are 15 players with three or four coaches. So what I wanted to mention though, what really annoys me is that we had our bad run this season under Steve Bruce at the start of the season. I thought after Corbrand came in, obviously we're doing really well, reached the playoffs at a couple of points, didn't we? But we seem to go for another bad patch. No one else seems to do it. Like Middlesbrough, they won't have another bad patch, They'll probably get second. Sheffield United probably have a bad patch and Middlesbrough will end up getting second. It just irritates me. No one else has a bad patch. Millwall, Luton, no one is having a bad patch. It seems to be the only two clubs that do it, us and Blackburn. Blackburn seem to fall out quite a lot and then get back in and fall out.
It's funny that you say Blackburn because, like, the two teams where They had it, didn't they, for how much of this season where they were like polarized results, where they only won or lost games, didn't they? They never drew games. And it was like you could predict what game they were going to, whether they were going to win the next based on the sequencing of the games they played up until that point. And they accumulated loads of points because they weren't drawing any games. And I do think why it feels like a bad run is because we were so hot, red hot. And I also think one thing that we seem to really struggle with is injuries. I mean, I know every team's got a few injuries knocking about, but our physio room, it's wild how many kind of key injuries seem to get. And then you hear like Carl Bartley's aggravated his injury. Matt Phillips is now out for the rest of the season. Alex Palmer. These are like players that would be key to a promotion push. But then you look at like Middlesbrough's squad and the strength in depth that these teams have. And I appreciate that there's other clubs that look at envy with what we've got on the bench. But really, I mean, with Cameron Archer and what's it, Chupa Akpom, or what's his name, the guy at Middlesbrough, him, yeah. He's got on 20-something goals already this season, and they've just got this astonishing arsenal of talent. And I know a lot of people at the start of the season were touting Middlesbrough to be kind of automatic favourites, and you're kind of seeing why now. They're kind of catching up to where they always should be. I think the thing for me after off the back of these three games is that we said when Corbyn came in that if he could keep us up, that was a step in the right direction for West Bromwich Albion's foot club. I think we did so well that a lot of us have allowed that to be carried away a little bit. And now it's kind of like there's almost like a disappointment that we might not be going up this year. But the reality of it is I think we've got to accept of how far we had fallen, that this is still success. How we've been so far. And I think with a few tweaks, I think working out the midfield, how do you play your Cushley and Chalobah, or can you? I do think I agree with you, Joe. I don't agree with your assessment on Chalobah at all. I think he's looked good to me, especially when you see him in person. And I'm not knocking people who aren't at the games there at all, but there's a presence about him. He's a big bloke. He's got an eye for a ball. There's a little bit of quality. He's very similar to your Cushley, though. It's difficult to see how you play both of them at the same time. You know what they say, Alex Ferguson said this as well. He said, like, the dilemma of playing Lampard and Gerrard in the same team. He said, I think Ferguson did say this, that he didn't understand how you get Chalobah and your Cushley into the same team. That was very recently he said that. I think we're going to struggle. I think all Brighton, it's basically wasting Jed Wallace at the moment playing all Brighton, because there was a time when all Brighton went off in the second half against Watford and Jed Wallace was pounding down the right side again. He was causing all kinds of problems. And I'm like, it's wasting that. You take him on your best assets in Jed Wallace and devaluing him by having all Brighton inside. Like you said, Joe, I think you've been generous. I think he had a decent first half against Coventry, and the rest, he might as well not have been there for the other games, particularly against Blues. He really shrunk under that pressure. One thing I'll have to say quickly, and then I'll let you, Alex, interject there because I want to hear from you as well. I went to Blues undercover. The Bait Club in the Blues End in their executive suite. Our good friend Carl Pedley, he sorted us out some tickets through one of the players there, and I have to say it was a scary, scary experience. Not because of the Blues fans and the Zulus, it wasn't anything like that. It was the kind of structural integrity of St Andrews was something to be feared. I've genuinely been in kind of safer looking corrugated tin roof sheds in a thunderstorm and felt more protected. It's a bonkers ground. And I was talking to our good friend Johnny Jury, who was in the press box next to us, and my view was obscured. If the ball went in the air, I couldn't see it. And there was a big pillar and a set of ladders in front of my view. And I don't know whether the ladders were part of the structure of St Andrews. It felt like being on a pirate ship, like one of these post-apocalyptic Mad Max Thunderdome-y kind of experiences where I was going to be like challenged to fight for my life at some point. It's quite funny because James Morrison and Heffler, is that the coach guy, they go up to do like the bird's eye view of the pitch from like the gantry, and they went up this set of ladders in front of us there, and then the ladders were kind of raised up, but the ladders go into the crowd, so I was scared at any point this elaborate pulley system, again, I'm not sure if it's holding up part of the stand, so I didn't want to kind of check. If that failed at any point, a Birmingham City fan is being decapitated by ladders. But then they weren't allowed to lower them, so they were effectively stuck on this gangway above stadium for an extended period of time. It was one of the most surreal experiences, and the fact that we lost, it was just one of the most bizarre experiences of my life. That's all I have to say, really. But thank you, Carl, for getting me the tickets. I do appreciate it.
Is that why they're giving them out free? You take your own
Genuinely, like they
life
could.
into your hands.
It's a scary place to go.
Here's a question for you, Jamie. What's St. Andrew's the patron saint of?
Asbestos.
I don't actually know. I thought, being a pastor, you might know. Let me Google it.
Cheeky little Google.
Also called St. Andrew, was an apostle of Jesus according to the New Testament. He's the brother of Simon Peter and he's a son of Jonah. He is referred to in the Orthodox tradition as the first called. There's the patron saint.
Of golf, maybe.
Patron saint of Scotland and of Russia. Ooh.
Oh, okay. Right. Anything else you guys want to say about the last few results? Do you, it's a
I just want
go
to throw in another Alex Ferguson quote, which is he always said that a good attack wins your games, but a good defence wins your titles. And I quite like how Corbyn has said we need to go back to basics. You know, we need to tighten up at the back, you know, going forward. So that's another good message to hear from Corbyn, that he is recognising that and he's looking to address it.
I'll tell you one thing that's stressing me out when people are getting all anxious. You can hear it in the crowd, like the anxiety when we're playing it out from the back. Corbyn, that's what how he wants to play. We're not going to stop doing that. He's definitively, that's what he wants to do. I don't think it matters who it's going to be. I appreciate in the second half against Blackburn, we did start going long a little bit more. But I think when we were chasing the goal, but I think his ideal way of playing, and you can hear the Bromley Road kind of like getting all, oh, just kick, go long, go long, go long. It's not going to happen under Corbyn. I think he's very comfortable with the idea of retaining possession rather than the kind of Valerian Ishmael pump it long and hope that Alex Mowat's sniffing around. Who was it that reminded me that Alex Mowat is still an Albion player? Was it you, Al? Alex is miming the answer to me.
Yeah, I think so. I'd just like to, you know, St. Andrew, I've just found some additional patronage, if
Is this
that's.
from your research in Wikipedia Corner? What are you going to tell me now that he's a wing back? He can play either side.
No, you'll enjoy this one, though, I think. So he's the patron saint of singers, spinsters, maidens, fishmongers, fishermen, women wanting to be mothers, and for gout and sore throats. It's quite a list, that is, isn't it?
Is
And
that I
Scotland and Russia.
my favorite is the gout one.
Yeah.
Yeah. The patron saint of gout.
Like he's giving it to people.
Yeah, that's that. It's a fairly eclectic collection of different things. Imagine if you were a fishmonging spinster with gout from Russia, how much kind of you'd feel a resonance with Saint Andrew. Well, that's something to think about and ponder there for you all.
The point I was trying to get at is that, you know, what does St. Andrew's have, like the stadium, what does it have in relation to any of that, like the danger element, perhaps?
Barry's fries, wheat. Barry's fry. Barry, how do you say
Barry's Fry. Go on, no, keep going. This
Is
is
that a
good.
chip shop?
This is good podcasting, Jack.
Barry fries, wheat in the corner. That's what he's got.
Yeah, no, that's very good. The voodoo curse and St. Andrews and whatnot. Yeah, but I am pretty comfortable with what I've seen over the last three games. I'm really disappointed, obviously. It sucked losing to Blackburn. Blackburn fans as well. What's going on, guys? Like, I mean, it's probably the poorest attendance I've seen from an away fan. We're gonna get into beef with Blackburn here. But a really poor turnout. I appreciate it's a pain getting to the Albion on an evening kickoff. Loads of people talking about that at the moment. It is a nightmare to get to there. Like, it's taken us a good while to get there. But I appreciate the people who are coming from further afield. It can't be much fun. And people missing the game, people not even trying to get to the game. You do notice a few gaps around the stadium. But Blackburn, really low turnout, super quiet all game. And then obviously they score in the 89th minute. And it's the first time I've seen outside the ground. Like, they're giving it so large. Like, what's going on? Are you guys okay? Like, relax. It was a draw. You did all right. You pretty much got beaten all game round. And you scored a kind of fluky free kick at the end. You guys just need to relax.
Yeah, I saw a thing on this, and Blackburn fans were saying it's midweek, all this. But it showed Preston and Blackpool fans, same night of the week. And I think Preston nearly filled theirs, and Blackburn was pretty full as well.
Blackpool, yeah.
So, Yeah, they had no excuses, to be honest.
Yeah, shocking, shocking. Anything else you two want to say about either of these games?
No, just that Jason Malumbi should be the first player on the team sheet.
Yeah, I agree with you, Joe. I think he's like the Roy Keane of the Albion at the moment. Like, he's the one with the fight and the bit of aggression. Like, I loved it. I think he did a bit of judo against Blackburn. I remember, like, he had a bit of a tussle with
Oh,
somebody
that was
by the
brilliant.
corner flag.
Yeah.
But I think he gives that fight and that energy, you know, that I think Chalobah and Yakusulu, they're like swans, aren't they? They're very, like, luxurious Rolls Royces of players. Whereas Malumbi's like your Jeep, and he, you know, he's just getting about there and, you know, riling a few people and winding people up and all sorts, which I think is a really important part of the game. I think the soft skills are so important at that level.
A lot of people, Alex, were excited about your, what do you call it, aviary? Is that the right word? Where birds live, ornithology and whatnot, the study of birds. And people were particularly fond of your kind of deciding what birds suited which players. We had Yakushlu as a swan. Got to be honest, disappointed that Shalaba's also a swan, but we can work with that. We brainstormed that one.
We'll go with a goose instead then.
A goose, okay. And but we had a peacock of a player in Daryl DK. What type of bird is Jason Malumbi?
Want to say is your bread and butter of a bird. So I was going to say pigeon, but I think that would be a bit rude. Nobody wants to be a rat of with wings, do they? But I'm going to say hummingbird with his
Oh yeah, I
energy and
like
his,
that. Yeah.
you know, he doesn't stop, does he?
I kind of like rat with wings as well, but hummingbird, we'll go with hummingbird.
I want a woodpecker. Really annoying, isn't it?
Woody the
Yeah, actually,
woodpecker.
I think you. Yeah, I like that, Joe. Definitely a woodpecker instead.
There we go. For the Torthorns Debate Club, we collaborate, we inspire one another to great things. So yeah, we all kind of fed in there.
Who have we got on next week? Bill Oddie? Is he on it with us?
Is he alive?
I don't know.
Yeah, live and kicking.
Very
Sure,
good.
he's
All
from
right then.
around here.
Just to kind of talk about Jason Lumley very, very briefly, I kind of obviously think he's found a nice little kind of partnership with Malumbi in the centre of the midfield. And he's that, where you've got that calm, patient, methodical Yakushlu, Malumbi is chaos. And I think it's a chaos in a positive sense, where he just kind of is frantic, is energetic, and it upsets the systems and structures of the opposition. And he gets into places, he gets in people's faces. But there's also an element of chaos as far as we're concerned. And I think you've seen that when it comes to kind of like the erraticness, like it's his pass that leads to the chance that Swift gives away the challenge and Blackburn get the free kick, but it's his poor pass that does it against Watford. He's at fault, he's kind of scrapping in the box and it doesn't quite clear it properly. And I think he is chaos. And I can understand why a manager like Corbyn, who likes to exercise control over every detail, is reluctant to play a player like Malumbi when it's like you're surrendering control, you're just saying there's this loose cannon. Seamlessness that we've got two Zoom calls in the middle of that sentence there. I'm sure that people didn't notice. Alex was very interesting during the little break there that you won't have experienced listening to this. He messaged us something very interesting about this Jason Malumbi conversation. We've spoken about how he is a hummingbird, but Alex also now bringing in chaos theory and obviously butterfly wings and hummingbird wings and Jason Malumbi's chaos. And it begs the question, and I don't know if you guys can answer this question, if Jason Malumbi flaps his wings, does a hurricane start somewhere else in another part of the world?
I can't answer that, but you know who he, you know what he reminds me of? Another pick is a ginger player. You know, ginger players are always nipping at your heels. You know, like your James O'Connor, your Nicky Butt, all those type of players. It just reminds me of one of those players. Sorry, just in
No,
my head.
that's fine. We're not good at football, so we have to make up for it in other ways.
You know, that's an interesting comment, Joe, because they do, like, historically, Ireland is known for having a lot of red-haired people. So maybe he's got it in his DNA somewhere because he's Irish.
Him and John Olorisa.
Yeah.
Right. So, well, that kind of wraps up neatly, landing it very well there. Let's go on to some news bits and pieces to get to. There's nothing too much concerning the Albion. Ryan Tulloch has joined Dundalk on loan. I'm not even sure. Where is Dundalk?
Sounds like it's in where Lord of the Rings is written.
He's playing for Mordor FC.
Isn't it near France? Isn't it? Isn't
Where we
that?
evacuated people on boats from.
Yeah, I'm sure it
It's Ireland, by the look of it. We
is.
seem to be talking a lot about Ireland all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah. It's Leinster province.
That's strange that he's gone to play in Ireland. Mate, I'm not being critical of the Irish league there, but you'd think the exposure that the club would be looking to get him at it would be in kind of the league system in England. Does that mean anything?
Well, they've got a big game to tomorrow against Bohemians, so
Oh, well, that's it. That will surely.
baptism of fire.
Well, best of luck to Ryan Tulloch over on the Emerald Isle. Action for Albion are ramping up their protests again. I think they've noticed, and me and Alex noticed in the ground, the Shine a Light protested against Blackburn. It was a little bit poor, to be honest. There were some people shining their lights, but by and large, most people more or less seem to ignore it. It thinks it's run its natural lifespan now, and I think the guys from Action for Albion were on the radio afterwards, and they kind of acknowledged that, and they're looking to do different things again. There's going to be a protest outside the Halfords Lane on Saturday. I think that this is the first time there's probably been a Saturday game, an opportunity for to do it in a long, long time. And so I think they're seizing the opportunity to get a protest done in person.
I would just like to ask if they, 'cause it makes it a bit awkward to leave the stadium. So a lot of people will leave early. I mean, I support Action for Albion and their cause, but I think they could do something better than protesting in the Halfords Lane. Like East Stand might be better.
It is one of those things, isn't it? If it does that, basically the goal is to do things that won't affect the team performantly speaking. But if I guess if it's leading to people leaving the ground early to avoid getting caught up in the disruption, I wonder whether that will factor into their decision if they notice that there's a people that do get up out of their seats and go early to avoid being like caught in congestion on the Halfords Lane. That would be interesting. But like you say, I think they're at that point now where it's like, well, what else can you do?
I think they should latch on to all the motorway traffic getting into Albion and say that was their protest.
Yeah, that they've destroyed the M5 Junction 1 roundabout. Take credit for it. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. I think obviously now as a group, they're just trying what they can do to kind of get as much. They've got a lot of notice from the media. Obviously, that new sporting regulator has come out today as we're recording this. Tracy Crouch and Kieran Maguire and all of those guys who've been kind of champion an independent regulator to stop almost what's been going on at Albion with Guoc and Lai using us as his personal bank and lack of investment and basically leveraging the interests of the club for his own personal gain and just trying to protect football clubs about that. So it'll be interesting to see if that does make any difference in the long run. And that kind of wraps up the news, really. And that leads us into our preview. It's a bit of a short episode, but I don't think that matters too much. I think just sometimes short and sweet is better than long and drawn out. But we've got a big, 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 big game against kind of the form favourites in the league, really. These and Burnley, Middlesbrough and Burnley are just on like unparalleled form. They've really just hit the ground running since Wilder left and Carrick came in. Some really exciting recruitment in January that added to an already strong squad. And I don't know what their form is exactly, but I think they were mirroring what we were like under Corbyn when we were at the kind of peak of our powers, and they've just simply continued rather than falling away like we have. So they've got dangerous attacking players. They've got players that have caused us problems in the past all over the pitch. Really going to be a big, big test this. And I think it's probably the first time I'm going to say this all season, but I think I'd take a draw.
I totally agree with that. I think a draw is a good result if we get 3 points. It's really showing the league what we're made out of because at the moment, obviously, no one wants to go to Burnley and play them. But I think I'd take playing Burnley over Middlesbrough because they've had the best new manager bounce I've ever seen in my life. You know, like it's on par with what everybody was talking about last season with Cooper for Nottingham Forest. It's probably better, to be honest, because they could possibly get automatic promotion at the moment. If they keep going like this, Sheffield United will drop points and, you know, it could be a brilliant end to the season, you know, at the top of the league. But yeah, I think they've got their striker, Akpom is in such good form. He's not really done this ever in his career, and it's this season. And with our nervousness at the back, I could see us conceding, you know, but I think we've got the quality to break them down. And I think they won't have come up against a good team like us at home, because not a lot of teams have the same form we have at home. So I just think, yeah, I think it's going to be a high scoring draw. I could see a 2-2 on this. And I think I can't see a striker scoring, because they just don't seem to score. So I just see it being like a bit of a scrappy goals from set pieces. Maybe, you know, O'Shea scoring, and maybe edge of the box, Jason Lombino, like something like that. You know, it's like Blackburn, you know, that scrappy goal. So yeah, I think 2-2 draw on this one.
I think we'll nick a win. I think he's going. I think Corbyn's going back to basics, and he's setting up the shop. So I think it'll be a very tight game. I reckon it'd be quite a boring game, quite a frustrating game to watch. But I think we'll nick a goal from a corner. But to be honest, I'm not too worried about the results on Saturday. I think the key is the remaining games. I'm not sure how many games are left after Saturday. But I think we're starting to play the teams that we should be beating again comfortably. And then I hope we can get on a bit of a run and then finish in the playoffs and then see what happens from there.
I think it's a brutal February. We all kind of knew February was going to be tough slate of games. And it's just simply lived up to expectation. It's proven to be as difficult, probably more difficult than most of us were imagining it would be. And I think it's kind of cherry on the top of it all is Middlesbrough and where they've been and what they can do to teams. And I expect, like you're saying, I think the defence and the kind of frailties there and the sloppiness of the just the kind of uncharacteristic mistakes that we've seemingly made, I can't see them being sewn up before then. So I can see us conceding goals, but I can also see us causing problems. I think John Swift and Jed Wallace and players like that have got more than enough quality to unlock any defence in the Championship. So I expect will score. So I'm going to say it'll be, you said 2-2, didn't you, Joe? 3-3? We'll go with 3-3. Nobody really cares whether we're right or wrong anyway. Right, well, Alan, did you get a prediction in, sorry?
Yeah, I said a 1-0 victory. There's 13 games left after Middlesbrough, so I think that'll be the key, really. So there'll be 39 points to play for. So I think if we get an average of around 2.5 with the remaining fixtures, I think it will be a playoff certainty.
2.5?
An average.
Flipping up. Alex has set something for Corbyn there.
Yeah, that's your challenge, Corbyn. I'll get your face tattooed on my chest if you achieve it.
Have Burnley got a 2.5 points at the moment?
I know that Wrexham and Notts County are absolutely storming the National League at the moment, and I think theirs is less than that. And they're looking to break every record in National League history with their points total.
I should clarify, it's just the average of the remaining 13 games, not like over the season.
Well, Alex, if you believe, I believe. St. Andrew, help us. Right, well, I think that's a nice place to end the podcast there. Perhaps it's not a nice place to end the podcast. All that remains for me to say is a huge thank you to you, Alex.
Cheers.
Thank you to you, Joe.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the podcast this week, and we'll see you next week. Sweet dreams.